Chapter 2, verse 5. Hear now God's word. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah. Now it happened in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Susa, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brothers, came with certain men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who escaped exile and came in Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant of the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are on fire. As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and praying before God. And I said, Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, and the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. Remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, are you among the people? You keep my commandments and do outcast and gather them in the place that I have chosen there. They are your servants. O Lord, attentive care of your servants who delight of this man, King, out of heaven. And I said to the king, if it please favor in your sight, my father's graves. The word of the Lord.
Hi, everyone. Good to be with you this morning. We had a great end of the calendar year. We had a wonderful Christmas Eve service. If you were walking in there, no way, they will not. It was amazing that many showed up, and of course it was a Saturday, so the next day is, it's the Lord's Day, and on the Lord's Day, what do? We worship, and so I don't know if I cold or heckled, but I said, there's a this day, they cut out a frozen piece so they could baptize somebody. Up at church the next day. The funny thing about this is that we got there at Franklin Church, and you know there was no frozen ice to cut through and baptize, but it wasn't working. Seriously, boots on. 150 people showed up the first day. People showed up, and the ending of the year and beginning of the new year, and I'm really thankful all and for has in store for us in 20 is a very big day for us. It really is. There's a lot of important, really big of. But before we get, I really want to talk about as a church, and every year in December together we spend about previous year to see where and we have this frame that what we're trying to accomplish in the next year, 3 years, 5 to 10 years, and we hard at updating that and keeping that in front of us. And if you would like to see it, just let me know. I'll be happy to give you a copy. It's open and available to anybody. But part of that is a description, a small, short, hopefully easy to understand description of our vision. Our vision relates to looking up, looking in amongst each other horizontally, and then looking out into the world. So I want to explain this. Up means that we focus primarily on the living God. Lives are to be lived in fear and in understanding the love of God, both. So we fear God, we want to obey him, and we want to be with him. We also, amen, he shows grace to sinners like us, amen? News. And so we want to, before we are worried about anything else, we want to look up to God. And then we want to look in, and that means within our relationship. Verse here, 24 and 25, eating together, verse says. And so we want to do everything we can within the church of encouragement and love and of accountability. And then out, a byproduct of looking up to God and serving one another within the church is that we go out in the community and we make an impact. We love people, we serve people, we care for people. So everything that we do, we try to structure it around these three things. And so we revisit this every year. And this year we're looking, the title of the series is Nehemiah and NAPC. And there's a theme of building that will come through as we walk through this series, but return just is the word for up, rebuilds in, respond is out. And so we're going to look at each of these, and this morning we're going to see as we look at this theme of up is that Nehemiah looks up to God first before he does anything else. And that is a very good example for all of us. So that's what we'll be looking at this morning, what Nehemiah does when he hears this bad, bad news about the land that he loves, the people that he loves in Jerusalem. Now let's pray first. Father, thank you for your word. I pray simply that you would help us to be ready to receive it. Help us to sit up and pay attention to your word, so that we might be your faithful people and so that you might speak to us by the power of your Spirit. And I humbly ask that my words would be your very words. I pray that you would help me to say only what the Word of God says. And Lord, I pray that this would all be for your glory and for our great joy. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the Old Testament, and that's before Christ. And I want to give you background on what we come to, and 50 years or so that we're going to go through very quickly. 586, Jerusalem is conquered by the Babylonians, and that was, it's hard to imagine what that would be like your home country being destroyed and you being shipped off somewhere else. I have an aunt who is in her 90s. She's in a nursing home in New Albany, and she grew up in the country of Latvia, which is one of the Baltic states. The Russians, during World War II, came into Latvia and took it over. And she, with my grandma and grandpa, and my mom was actually born in Germany, but they had to flee Latvia so that my grandfather would not be shipped off to the Gulag. And, you know, my Aunt Lee, she was like 17, probably had a sense of what this would be like. Most of us do not have an understanding of what this would be like. It was catastrophic. The temple was destroyed. You know, the lifeline between God and his people. And it's just unthinkable. And that's what happens in 586. And we studied a book of the Bible that had to do with exile last year. And it was part of our small group study. Does anybody remember what that book was? Somebody say it. Yes, thank you. The first service, it was only Pastor Ken who knew. So, you know, great that he knew it, but he put the study together. So I'm really appreciative that there were people who actually remembered that we studied the book of Daniel when they were in exile and how to be faithful in exile. In 5:9, Cyrus was king of Persia, they conquered the Babylonians. And a year after that, Cyrus allowed the Jewish people who were all throughout the empire to return to Jerusalem. That was a big win, but there were all kinds of problems when they got back. So three key figures at this time. First one is Zerubbabel, who was a leader. He began to build the temple in 536. In 516, the work was completed. 20 years. It's only taken us three. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. So the temple was completed. Then in 458, about 50, 60 years later, Ezra, another key figure, goes to Jerusalem. And his role as a priest is to uncover actually the law of God, the word of God. They had forgotten the word of God. And if you read the book of Ezra, you see that he starts reading it and they're so convicted that they weep and they're on their knees and they're begging for the Lord to forgive and to learn more about the word of God. So that's the second figure is Ezra. And the third one, of course, is going to be Nehemiah. So when we come to Nehemiah, all of these events have happened. And that's roughly the year where we find Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah does. First thing he does is very, very important. He simply listens. Nehemiah listens. It says it was the month of Kislev, which is November or December in our time. It's the 20th year. That's the 20th year of the reign of Artaxerxes, the king. And they're in Susa, which is a royal seat where the king would go a number of months out of the year and hundreds of miles from Jerusalem. So there have been these men who have made this trek from Jerusalem all the way to Susa, simply to Nehemiah. And one of them was a brother of Nehemiah, and they explain what's happening. And in verse 3, it says, the place is a disaster. The exiles are back. There's some exiles who are back. But the gates are torn down, and the walls are broken. They have no protection. Their enemies are they're all over. Safety are really no let's come up with a quick problems hurting people in our community, aren't there? Mental health high. Kids are incredibly lonely, dealing with depression. The world is deeply, deeply confused about where to find contentment and joy, looking all over the place, and actually are guilty of that to some degree. How many of you are now completely content and you can die in peace because of the Christmas gifts that you got? Raise your hand. How many of you can name all of the Christmas gifts that you got? Raise your hand. I kind of want to put you on the spot. I don't know if you could do it, but maybe you got just one huge gift. But either way, in another month, we won't remember those gifts, and yet we keep thinking that a little bit more is going to make us happy, and just a little bit more, and if we just get a little, we make a little bit more, that will make us happy, and it never does. And yet we keep looking. The world is confused, and sometimes we are the ones who are confused as well. And more likely than not, this month in particular brings a lot of depression. Why? Well, because the credit card bills come due, and the skies are brooding, and all of the things we look forward to are now over, and it's a pretty difficult time. There are people around us all over the place who are hurting. Do we see them? And do we actually listen to them? I got a book for my two oldest kids, a book by David Zoll called Low Anthropology. I got that for them for Christmas. And the subtitle is How to Have a Gracious View of Others and Yourself. And the basic point is we're all sinners who need grace. Amen? We are, no matter how far we get, always are sinners who need grace. And he worry about a woman who had on Capitol Hill sucking. She started this just out of the blue out on Craigslist, and the ad, I will listen whatever you want to tell me. And people answered it in droves. And she said that she found she would respond, not on giving advice, not on, you know, relating a story in her past to brothers and sisters. Actually listen. The people to is to what they are saying breaks his heart. And then Nehemiah does very, very smart. He goes, a person who can do anything about it. Nehemiah prays. He listens first, prays. He gives this beautiful, beautiful prayer that I want to walk through, but I want to ask you, when something goes wrong or you have a problem, what is your first instinct? Like, what do you do first? Do you solve the problem first on your own, or do you actually go to God and lift it up to Him? I think most of us, probably, if we're being honest, we try to figure it out, and then later, maybe, you know, a couple days later, we'll think, oh, you know what, let me pray also. I'll try to do that too. Nehemiah, immediately, he mourns, he weeps, he fasts, prays, and it is a hard prayer. This year, in 2023, I'm doing something a little bit different than I know, my devotional. Over the read through the Bible with a number of other people this year. I'm just going a little bit deeper, a little bit slower, and I'm reading through the Psalms from start to finish. I'm going to try to do that twice and really meditate on them. But if you read the Psalms, what you find is all kinds of language for when we are hurting, to go to God with our hurt and just take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day. We all feel like this from time to time. And the scriptures give us so far from saving me from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, you do not answer by nothing. Now, it's important they actually also, otherwise we wouldn't. And they're also filled with language returns us to the promises of God. But all of this is to say, it is good to go to God with our heart. Maya does. So he prays. And I want to look at what consists of. It's he fasts, first of all. Fasting is a very biblical practice where if there's something that we desperately want from God, to go without food for a time, to focus ourselves on prayer is a godly and good thing to do. That's what Nehemiah does. And he's fasting and praying, and he begins with praise. Look in verse 5. O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love. He is praising the living God. He's praising him for who he is. Who else would we go to? Why would we think that we can solve our own problems when the God of the universe is sovereign over all things? He knows everything. He controls every molecule in the universe. He created all things. Nehemiah is acknowledging all of this. He is the great and awesome God. Amen. He acknowledges that. He then goes into this plea, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant. You can hear the pathos, the emotion that he prays with. And I now pray before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants. And then he goes into confession, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. Acted very corruptly against you, have not kept the commandments. You know how we have a prayer of confession every Sunday? We do that because we need to, and that should supplement our daily confession, but we make that part of our public worship because we are people who stand in need of forgiveness, and then we acknowledge that we are forgiven. That's the assurance of pardon, that we have been pardoned by the living God through Jesus Christ. He then reminds God of his promises. Remember in verse 8, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I'll scatter you. But if you return to me, keep my commandments and do them, I'll gather all of you They are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power. So reminding God of his promises is remember the great promises that God has given us and we are given. Trust. Reminding God of his promises, and then look at what he says at the end of the prayer. He says, O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, the prayer of your servants who delight to fear your name, and give success to your servant today. Grant him mercy in the sight of this man. Nehemiah has a very, very important and tremendously risky venture that he's about to embark upon. It's good that he prays for success. Are you in the world doing battle in some way? Are you working hard in your career? Are you taking risks? It's good to ask God for success. You ought to. Now, there's some things you should not ask God for success for. Like, God, I really can't stand my neighbor. I'm going to kill him and bury him in my backyard. Give me success so that no one catches me. Like, don't do that. Don't pray it and don't do it. But we ought to pray for success. You know, good grades or your career, your family, your marriage, all those things. We want success. Nehemiah asks for success. And after he finishes this prayer, Nehemiah acts. And we get to the vocation that Nehemiah practices. He's a cupbearer to the cause and tastes the drink before serving it to ensure it was safe. Due to their responsibilities, a cupbearer had to be trustworthy and loyal. End quote. That was what Nehemiah was. And you had to be a happy cupbearer. Why? You're in front of the king, man. Anybody who came to the king had smiles from ear to ear. Why? Because on the ship. Well, there'll be an indictment against the king. Happy. He might. Because it was, you were passively, aggressively telling him he wasn't doing a good job. I know that's crazy, but that's just how it was. King was the law, and that was the way it was. And so, praise, success, and then he expressing how he had not been sad in his presence. And to me, why is your face? The heart. Very much afraid. Do you know what people courage is? Actually, do what you are called to do, supposed to do, even if you are afraid. That's what courage is, and that's what Nehemiah exhibits. He says to the king, "Let the king forever." Why should my face not be sad? And then he explains about Jerusalem and the gates being torn down and the walls being broken. And then the king says, what are you requesting? He does some praise again real quickly before he prayed to the God of heaven. Then verse 5, if it pleases the king, if your servant has found favor, send me to Judah. I want to go back. I want to rebuild the city. And in the subsequent verses, the king grants him exactly that. And so he going to go back and we'll find out exactly what happens as he goes back and as the gym lights turn on. So let me close with this. Listen, pray, and act. Brothers and sisters, you and I begin by going to God. We begin by going to God, asking him and praising him and confessing our sins and asking him for help. Okay? And listen, the community around us to one another, and there are a lot of hurting people in this. Do you know who this is? And community, okay? It is to joyfully steward our God-given and care. We want to steward. Oh, this is a very important year. We know we're going to be opening up church, because what is the church? It's all of us, right? That's what we said when we left the last building. It's the people. Here, it's going to be they lived happily ever after. Okay, it won't be, oh, we arrived, we're done. No, it's going to be a brand new chapter, Lord willing, of amazing opportunities to reach out and to do this. So we will have an incredible gift, this building. You and I, as individuals, as a church, we are to steward it well, to open our doors, to see lots of people come in, to care for them and pray for them and engage with them and preach the gospel to them. The gospel is, it's offensive to many people, and we can't help that, but we can love people and serve people, preach the truth and talk about Jesus, and then see many, many people come in and come to know him. And so we wanted to not get into it because the goal is to shine the light of the gospel. Amen? The world around us, who do where to find hope and help. And we are called and commanded to go and to share with them and to joyfully steward our gifts. And your gifts might be your time. Your gifts might be your generosity. Your gifts might be the talents that you have, the place where God has put you in your neighborhood. It might be in your school and the students around you that you can reach out to and pray for and care for. It might be all of those things. But make no mistake, you are called to joyfully use what you have for the people around us and the people in our church and to reach out. And the first thing you do is look up. That's the first thing you do. Because if you do not have the vertical relationship with God, you cannot do much. So the thing I want to make sure of is, do you know Jesus? If you're here this morning, do you know him? Because he created you to know the living God, but you've gone the other way, and through our sin, in our relationship with God, the relationship that we were created for. And in that position, God did not give up on us. He sent his son Jesus to die for us again. And he himself to you that you might repent. That you can have that. And if you are a Christian, then do what you need to do by God's grace to grow. You can start a prayer list every day of the week. Just start one in your phone for prayers that you pray every day for people around you and for the things that are happening in your life. Or join the Bible in a year this year. There's an elder named Tom Schoolis who is leading that Bible in a year. Maybe you've never done it. Get on the YouVersion, friend Tom Schoolis. He'll invite you into the plan. It's not late. You're 8 days in. That's the danger zone, actually, from getting left behind on the was. But I said that in the first service, and a guy came up to me and he was like, I just want you to know, Pastor David, I was 65 days behind and I finished. I was amazed. Like, if you're 2 months behind, you're reading like War and Peace every day to catch up. He did it. So it's not too late. If you've never read the Bible through, why not this year? It's a way to grow in your relationship with God. Join a Bible study. We got men's studies, small groups. Many, many opportunities for you. And the burden made no sense. He couldn't have done anything about it apart from the living God. You and I, we ought to have a burden for the community around us. But it begins. Father, we thank you so much for your love, mercy, and grace. You are an amazing God. You are patient with us. You are at Father God, I want to joyfully steward our gift to care. We want to. We ask that you would every single person who's here, and I pray that they would make some step to grow in their relationship in this calendar year.